I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi again.
That just like completely redlined. I love that. I love an auditory like assault.
I wanted to know that I was here for part of my 3-episode arc. You didn't realize it the first time, but this is number 2.
Yeah, this is number 2. We're back.
It's me, Ed.
And Lara.
Subbing in.
Your host of Babe. Mm-hmm. We...
Day after July 4th.
The day after July 4th. And we had a bit of a journey yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Things happened.
We had a great time. My friend, who is the GM of the Nomad Hotel downtown LA, shout out because it actually was really amazing, gave me and Simon, because he could tell that I needed like a soothe journey, a staycation. And so Simon and I went there, and then we invited all the lollers we knew to the roof pool. And we had a really good time. What really made it for me was the fact that the music wasn't too loud. They kept it at a minimum amount of people, like guests only or friends of guests. And basically, it was just like a place where you could just like finally relax in LA.
Finally.
You could
relax.
It's been so hard.
Finally.
After all these years.
After all these years, you could finally relax.
I haven't been relaxed for one night in my entire life until last night.
Until last night. I love that for
until
you.
We saw...
Until we saw Brain on Fire. But prior to that, so we're by the pool. And the one thing I will say that scared me by the pool is... Oh, are you okay? You're just getting some chapstick?
You wanna, and I was moving over my Yelp reviews for later.
Mm-hmm, you want to reapply or...
I do. I'm feeling a little chapstick.
Okay, yeah.
It's fun.
You have a real chapstick thing going on.
If I leave the house or find myself without chapstick in my pocket... I have a 45-minute window before I panic.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pull over the car, and I'll take whatever I can get.
What brand are you doing
right
now?
This is not my favorite. It's Burt's.
It's Burt's Bees?
It's not my favorite.
What was that brand? Remember when you found chapstick that you loved, so you ordered 20 of them?
Yeah.
And they came to the house while I was staying here during my, like, Airbnb homeless journey.
Your dark journey.
My dark period. And there were chapsticks.
It was your Picasso's blue years.
It was my blue years. Yeah. My Pablo era. And like, there was, Ed ordered a literal box of 20 chapsticks.
Yeah.
And they were all over the house. But it was a chic brand. What was it?
Unfortunately, I'd have to have one in my pockets called like JB and Family. I don't remember. All
you don't
I know,
remember? You were well, so into them.
Well, I know.
How
I still
quickly
have them.
You forget.
Well, they're around. It's just like one of those initial brands that you're just like, whatever. I love this brand though. But I originally discovered it when I got upgraded once on American Airlines and it came in the toiletry kit. And I was like, this is
the
chapstick that stays on. It keeps you moist.
Yeah, and check
you can also fall asleep and wake up and feel okay. Like even if you're dehydrated, your lips aren't.
Yeah, that's so important.
So, like, you wake up thirsty and you're like, oh, water. But then you're like, oh, God, my lips feel great. And that's like a true sign.
That's a true
chapstick that's worth it.
Keeper.
Yeah.
Because it's hard out there to find chapsticks that you connect with or like lip balm that
you
connect
with.
Oh, my God.
Carmex, no. Burt's, no. Chapstick brand, no.
No, I don't go. I don't go drugstore when it comes to chapstick.
There's a couple.
I go
like Labello is a drugstore or European drugstore brand that's actually pretty good. But that's my take. Labello.
You're coming in hot with like a fresh oven Nomad Hotel stay and recommending some European chapsticks.
Well,
you're keeping
you know,
it relatable.
If there's one thing I hope to bring to this podcast is just to be able to be a person that you guys can relate to as the readers.
The readers that, love a high-end journey.
Well, I also am hoping the readers that when they realize that I'm high-end, that it's going to motivate them more to go to my Amazon wish list.
Oh, yeah. Bring it back. You don't even put ChapStick on your Amazon wish list.
I didn't, but I should.
You should.
And you know what? I'll find that update brand it. And put it on.
Yeah.
A 20-pack. About $200.
20-pack. Yeah, just a casual 200 20-pack.
Just for some lubrication.
What am I doing with my ChapStick journey right now? I've really been into this one by Sage. You know that brand? Mm-mm. It's like kind of like a mall store, but like it's for like aromatherapy. I know I lost you at mall, but it's like
I started thinking of Lush soap and started getting triggered.
But like it's not like a Lush. It's like a very like it's like sage. It's
I love the herb sage.
S-A-J-E.
Oh,
so it's like sage
with a J. That's and it's rude.
Like aromatherapy. But then they also had this chapstick or lip balm called Virgin Lips, and I was like, I need.
Well, I trust you, so
I'll try that one's good.
You know what?
What
you could send that to me if you wanted.
I could. Mm-hmm. I definitely could do that.
And maybe you should.
Maybe I won't, probably. Mm. I feel like you're set on chapsticks.
Actually, I lose them and run out of them all the time. So
that's a wild thing to do. I've been using a Vanderpump Rules brand chapstick.
Mm, that's gotta like fiberglass.
No, it's actually kind of good. It's by one of the cast members of Vanderpump Rules has her own line. Not, I don't think you've ever seen her. Christina Kelly.
She's later on.
No, she's just like friend of. So she pops in and out and like scowls and is very, very thin.
She's first season though?
I think you can see her like in the background a couple of times in the first season. She's not like a featured cast member.
She was able to just like make a...
She just like makes them in her apartment or something. This is where things get dicey because like... The thing about me is that I hate sharing chapstick.
Well, I want you to overcome your fears.
I'm actually like have it. Like I just broke into like a cold sweat.
Well.
Is that babe of me?
Yeah.
I think that that's like
I have
healthy.
A zero herpy journey.
I know, but it's not about that. It's about just like germs. Oh my God, I hate this. I'm never going to use this chapstick again.
Well, then I guess it's mine.
No.
I win.
It's nice. It's all natural. Coco Rose.
I share toothbrushes. I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm going to just say this to the readers right now. People that are too hypochondriac about that kind of shit are just ridiculous to me. Like, it's one thing to, like, put on someone's sweaty socks and be like, ugh. But it's another thing if someone's, like, brushed their teeth, washed off the toothbrush.
No, a toothbrush? Come on. That is gross.
Dude, you need to... Get over it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't love using strangers' toothbrush, but I would use yours, and I use Simon's all the time, and he uses mine. Well, I mean, we make out. If you eat ass, get over it.
I know, but like, it just is like crossing a line. Like,
and
I'll
eating fecal matter isn't.
You don't eat fecal matter.
Well, there's always fecal matter there, no matter how much you douche.
I've like encountered some pretty clean assholes in my life, or like at least one.
When you scrub a toothbrush underwater, and all there was maybe lingering plaque, it's definitely less harmful than like a bacteria that's in your butthole.
I won't disagree with that, but I also like won't share a toothbrush with anyone.
Even if I was like, I need to brush my teeth or I'm going to die.
If you were going to die, I would.
No, I mean like we're camping and I'm like, I'm really like having a hard time. I need to brush my teeth.
No, absolutely not. I'd be like,
what would you say?
Squeeze some toothbrush onto your finger and then just rub your mouth. Or here's a good idea. Get a paper towel or a towel and just rub your teeth.
Well, if we're camping, we don't always have paper towels.
Well, you would have a towel. So you could rub your teeth with a towel.
I do use a towel sometimes.
Yeah.
But I will say, now I know how to, like, low-key troll you. It's just, like, when you're doing
it. It's ask for a chapstick.
No, just, like, use your toothbrush and, like, dry it off really quickly and, like...
Well, if I don't know about it, then I'm not so trolled. You would have to go in my bathroom and then walk out with my toothbrush brushing your teeth. And that...
But I love just, like, the idea that I'd go up, brush my teeth, be, like, super fresh, dry it off, and you'd be like,
I would never know.
Yeah,
it wouldn't affect me.
And you'd be fine.
But... I don't know. I just am freaked out by
it. Wait, so can we ask the readers another question?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any dentists out there? Are there any people that know about bacteria in the mouth and infection spread. Like, how dangerous really is it if you're a nurse, a doctor, a dentist, even an orthodontist, which is kind of unrelated in a way. It's more like changing the structure of your mouth.
Yeah.
But I take an orthodontist's recommendation at this point. Is it really that bad to share a toothbrush? Especially with someone that you know.
That is a real, that's a babe period for me. A share a toothbrush.
Babe period is neither good nor bad.
No, it is. It's babe, full stop. It's like a cease and desist type of babe.
This is me as a new ARC member. It's a cease and desist? You need an intervention.
Yeah, because you know about the babe hierarchy.
Well, I know that babe exclamation part.
Point
exclamation
is good.
Point is good. I know that
babe question mark
is like, are you on the TBD. Edge of like some situations?
Mm-hmm. And then babe period is like, it's decided and it's done.
What if a dentist or like a professional came to you and was like, it's totally chill?
Maybe I'd be like more open. This is a new layer I didn't know about you. I'm trying to be open-minded and non-judgmental, but it's pretty
likewise.
Hard.
The fact that you wouldn't share in a time of need, you'd be like, use the bark off that tree.
Yeah, I'd be like, use your hand or here's some water in my toothpaste.
Here's some leftover fingernail scrapings of mine. Just rub it on.
I think you would figure it out. I'm going to know from the readers, toothbrush sharing, yay or nay. I have a feeling that it's nay.
Well, you have a predominantly female audience and I feel like it's
I think the males would also say.
I think a lot of people share with their partners when they need to.
Well, when they need to, but like. I feel like you go cross the line of need.
Well, I haven't used a friend's toothbrush in a long time.
I love.
But in general, I've had friends being like, I forgot my toothbrush. Can I use yours? And I'm like, fine, yeah. Because by the time it's in the morning and it's dried out, it's like nothing alive.
I feel like that's not science.
It's kind of like cum. It's like if the cum dries on you, all the diseases are gone.
So then you just like...
You could
rub it off.
You could
and let it like flake off.
No, I'm just saying like it's no longer a risk.
I feel like that's not science either.
That is cum.
I don't think that your cum theories or your toothbrush theories are scientifically proven. I need to have like a doctor or scientist here to fact check because you're making claims.
I'm
right
making
now.
Claims tonight, and I want to because I know I want to.
You're like, if you have unprotected sex and let someone come in your butt, but then you fart it out, it's definitely fine.
I said.
If you crush a rusty nail, if you step on a rusty nail and it penetrates your whole foot, but then it bleeds only for 5 minutes, you definitely don't have to get a tetanus shot. You're living by your own rules.
No. My thing was that I had once asked my doctor saying like, so what happens if like, like what happens like when cum dries, does the virus live on it?
Like on your skin?
Yeah. Like if someone were to cum on your chest and you would like where it happened to like scratch your chest and then like chew your fingernail or something, like what's the risk? And you have a cut in your mouth or something. Mm-hmm. And he was like, none.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty complicated way of like...
Well, I'm just saying when he says when it's exposed to air for too long, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a moist place.
So you're saying that a toothbrush...
Is the same. And I can't back that up, but I feel like there might be some dentists that are listening that can.
Yeah, please weigh in and email.
Because also plaque isn't like alive. It's not like all like...
No, it's just like kind of like a crunch journey.
Well, if you wash it off enough, it's like gone.
We can move on to like a new topic now, but I love that. And I want any readers that have intel on this, please email.
I want to know too. And honestly, when we were discussing what we were going to talk about, sharing toothbrushes did not come up.
No, but that's part of the journey. Is
I
just
know,
like,
I love that.
Life takes you places. And sometimes.
And you know what? It's our first disagreement.
It is our first disagreement.
Well,
I had to like thinking about like the chapstick thing because I'm just like a firm no share. But you know what I will do is I'll use other people's chapstick in a pinch.
Okay,
but
so
I
that
won't
makes
share.
No sense.
I know
me.
It doesn't make sense, but I just don't want their germs on my
So you're just more of a greedy, possessive person.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm like completely selfish.
As long as you own it.
Oh, I 100% own it. It's fucked up, but it's
But you're like, let me use yours, which is literally like, you don't even know how many people they shared that with.
Yeah.
Whereas yours is under control.
Mine's under control. So
you know where it's been.
Yeah. I know exactly whose mouth.
But you're just like, in a pinch, you're like, I'll use it. Which is kind of how I feel about a toothbrush, to be honest.
Yeah, but it happens maybe twice a year. And I feel like your toothbrush sharing happens.
Four times a year.
Four?
Four.
Okay. And I was under the impression that it happens like four times a month.
How often do you think that I'm with random people without a toothbrush?
I don't know. With my just happened yesterday.
No, but my boyfriend is not a random person. He's like someone I've been with for 5 years.
Okay, that's fair. Okay. All right.
I mean, readers, come on.
I give that a miniature
pass. Couples out there that are readers, you use things together.
Yeah. I did once have an argument with an ex-boyfriend where I wouldn't let him use my chapstick.
I believe it.
Yeah.
That's one thing that if I were straight and dating you, I wouldn't like.
I know.
But the rest of you would love.
The weird thing about me is that there's lots to like and lots to not like. But that's just life.
I love 99.9% of you.
Oh my God. I love 99.9% of you.
I thought you were going to say 0.8. Just to underscore me and just throw me into the goddamn box.
I was going to say 0.8. But then I
put you wound away so we could start a fake spat.
A dialogue.
I know.
So
we'd have to edit it out.
Well.
No. Not
or just keep it
not
real.
Not with this. We're real. And you won't hear anything edited on this one.
We watched a really Babe Ooh. Movie last night that I need to discuss and also highly recommend. It's on Netflix. It's called Brain on Fire. And like, it was recommended to me. Like, I turned on Netflix the other day to finish Netflix. The Staircase. Yeah, as you know.
Yeah.
And just like have like a moment with Dave. Like, I've really been settling into like when I'm alone now.
Your crush for that guy.
Yeah. Like, I don't.
How many times have you masturbated to him?
Twice so far.
And which was better, the first or second?
Both were really good and different.
But had you seen him age in the second time?
You know what? I did see him age and I was a little bit turned off when he came back because it had been so long and he looked different. He had like a goatee instead of a beard. But then someone messaged me that he actually like had a stroke. So then I felt bad for him because I was
like... Did that turn you on?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So yeah, a stroke is like a like... A reinvigorating like clit journey for you.
Yeah, it brought my boner completely back. And then I was like, oh my God. I was
Are
like,
you hearing
he's
this
sweet. I was like, he's a darling. I was like, he's nice. And you know, strokes happen.
That's true.
That's very true.
I've never heard of him as a turn on, but I love that you're
No, it's just like I was a survivor. Like, you know what? Aging, I feel really especially trolled by aging now. So when I'm attracted to someone and then I see that they've aged a lot, it like triggers my own aging bullshit. So
Everyone
that's what was happening. But then it's like, I don't know, somehow the stroke like equalized things and then I was back on.
I love that you were just like, your boner shrank, but the stroke made it rise to the sky.
But then you know what I really enjoy is like, I love seeing...
Did you think about the stroke while you were masturbating?
No, but it...
No.
What I love and
the
what I realized...
The stroke erased his elderly?
Yeah, it just was like, oh, that's what happens when you get old.
And then like, you were like, go happen. Back like, to him at 55.
It's life happens. Yeah. And so then I watched him...
65, whatever.
Because like, it took a while to get to him like doing his thing in a courtroom. And that's when I feel like he really shines.
That's
is when
he shines
he's,
for you.
Yeah, that's when he shines for me is when he's like doing his work because he's so good at it. And he's
I kind
like,
of like
in his
him
element.
In the back rooms, like the
conference tables. You like him in the
tables,
back, yeah.
You know, where he's like he's with like, a marker board.
Yeah, I love that. But I really love him in the courtroom.
You like a little bit of authority with his gentleness
I
and
do.
His stroke.
I do. And so
to circle back,
I've been watching Netflix late at night. I'm dragging The Staircase out because I don't want to finish it just yet because I need like to spend more time with David. And I saw this movie with Chloe Grace Moretz where she's just like has a head bandage on and it says Brain on Fire. And I was like, what is this? So I watched the trailer and it just looked like it was like, oh, she's really sick, but like doesn't know what it is. But it also looked like a true babe moment. So then
and
last
it was recommended
night,
98%.
97% recommendation.
Which
from,
means that Netflix means, is calling you out as a babe?
No, yeah. Netflix was like, babe, you might be really into this. And I was like, babe, you're incredibly right.
Netflix is like, you love a bad movie.
They were like, you love like a white girl having some sort of brain damage and being really confused and like
in high def that looks like soap opera.
Yeah, and like not anyone, like no one knowing what to do. I love white women going insane. Like that's like a very particular genre.
Girl Interrupted really did it for you.
It really did it for me. Like I bought that script when I was in high school and used to like read it in my aloud in my bedroom.
And got it on the street.
What?
Did you buy it on the street?
No, I bought the script like on Amazon.
eBay or something.
Yeah, yeah. I bought it like a Craigslist. Book. Yeah, well, yeah. No, they sell.
No, but you know, in New York on the street, they sell all those famous scripts.
The bootleg.
No, they sell the scripts.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, I forgot you.
I just had a bootleg journey in New York the first time I went.
What?
I bought.
We have to come back to the movie, but continue.
We will. I went to New York with my mom after eighth grade. We went to a lot of musicals, and then people were selling bootleg VHSs on the street of like new release movies. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, jackpot. And I bought all like 20 of them.
DVDs, and they were handheld.
They were not DVDs, it was VHS.
Oh. Were they handheld?
Some were handheld. Some were in really great condition. It was a crapshoot, but I went loco because I was like, I need these movies in my life.
You can also buy scripts of famous movies.
I love that.
Just an aside, which is what made me think of it.
Yeah, but I did buy the Girl Interrupted script. And I just like, that's like a genre that's very like near and dear to me. So when we were at the Nomad last night, we were like, we're fully not participating in like 4th of July activities.
Well, you had a whole tirade about fireworks during daylight.
Well, yeah, because people were setting them off during daylight, and it was like unacceptable to me.
It's a waste of money.
Yeah, it's a waste of money and a waste of fireworks.
And a waste of resources, time, energy, and fire.
Yeah. So we were trying to figure out what to do, and I was like, there's this movie on Netflix that looks really good, Brain on Fire. And we just like blazed and watched Brain on Fire, and it was truly, I cannot recommend it enough.
We identified with various characters in the movie, mm-hmm. assigned them to each other, mm-hmm. and then basically just had a running commentary the entire time, because it's not the kind of movie where you need to actually hear what anyone's saying, because the majority of the movie is just Chloe Moretz being confused and like blinking and like tripping and like getting me like, nah!
And like the screen gets like blurry and she's just like, what's going on? The movie literally is this. It's like Chloe Moretz feels weird.
There's no spoilers either.
There's no spoilers. She feels weird. She doesn't know what's happening. And she then gets really sick. And so, and that's the entire movie. There's no character development beyond just like her, like literally like falling down or like having manic episodes. And it's just like, there's not even really like tension. Like I was drawn in because I was like, what is wrong with her? Like, is this movie going to take like a science fiction turn?
And
I thought it.
Acting is. I'm talking the room level bad. It's unbelievably hilarious to watch.
She just
especially when you're high, and to watch her with her fillers in and like her lips are plumped up.
I don't think she has fillers. You think she does?
A lot. I posted about something on my private IG. Sorry, guys, but and a lot of people were like, "Oh God, I've been living for her since she had her fillers." So I kind of do, and also I'll say that. I want to give a huge shout out to whoever cast that movie because it's the most random collection of people that I never thought would be in a movie together.
Like, I'm pretty sure Tyler Perry is in that movie.
He is.
It is. You checked.
Yeah. It's Tyler Perry. The sort of indie offbeat comedian Jenny Slate.
Mm-hmm. Who's great in it.
Well, she's wearing a lot of like red Beats by Dre headphones.
I feel like Beats by Dre definitely threw some money at the production because the Beats by Dre headphones are heavily featured.
She's always wearing them.
She's always wearing them.
She's like, what's wrong with you? And then later she's like, I love you.
Of like Beats by Dre.
It's a deal.
Yeah. I think Beats by Dre made a deal.
She got a free headphone.
And the movie got like an influx of cash for the budget to like, that was like product placement. And then
Carrie Ann Moss.
Who's like really fierce.
That's who you guys labeled me as.
Yeah.
Because she loves a drink or two.
She loves a drink or two. Her line is literally like, hey, sorry, I'm late. Would anyone care for some alcohol? Which
within 5 minutes.
Really
of the show.
Ed's journey.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
Anyways, I choke laughed, spit out wine, Couldn't handle the hilarity levels of how absurd the movie was.
I can't recommend that movie enough. And I really think that it will bring a lot of light to your lives to watch it. And it was produced by Charlize Theron, which is a true confusion moment for me. But I also like love that because I feel like I know where Charlize's heart was at. Yeah. When she was like deciding to produce this movie, and I feel like everyone went into it with like the best intentions.
TBD on Chloe, to be honest.
I think everyone did. Like, I think Chloe really saw it as like her moment to
get an Oscar.
Yeah, like she fully is thinking it's like her Oscar moment, and everyone else is like, oh my god, we're gonna like bring awareness to like some serious issues. No, I think Chloe was like fully thinking she was going to get like at least a Golden Globe nom or like an Indie Spirit Award nom. And like,
I love that.
And this movie, I just love it when a movie like falls flat.
I don't know whether Ryan told you today, but he did a little bit of investigation on the movie. Mm-hmm. It was made in 2015.
Oh, that tracks.
Shelved,
yeah.
And then I think Netflix just like thought, they're like, why not?
No, yeah.
Like, just throw it into the world.
I'm sure if I'm watching it, another one of the, like, billion people, like, it has way better chance to, like, for people to watch it on Netflix.
When I posted you in my story last night and you said, head on fire, someone DM'd me and said, brain on fire.
Yeah.
Like, they'd already seen it.
Yeah.
And it's a book, too, apparently, that's actually supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, based on a true story, yeah.
The book's,
I would love to read the book now and see, like, how they measure up, because I have a feeling they don't.
Well, the interesting, also, just to end on this point, the interesting thing about, because we did do some digging.
Mm-hmm.
And
on, like, what was going on in the movie?
Well, just, like, the promo for the movie, and the only person that promoted it that was in it was Charlize.
She wasn't even in it.
I mean, that
she produced
was associated it. With yeah. it. None of the stars posted a single thing to be like, it's out now on Netflix, like, check it out.
No.
It got a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think everyone has been, like, dreading this day for 3 years.
I think everyone's just like, whatever, if we ignore it, maybe it'll go away. But it's
Charlize
not going to go away
because
it's on the front
away.
Page of Netflix. Charlize, I love that she's proud and that she's going to like
she's
rep
proud.
It hard.
And frankly, I think you, as an influencer of Babe, are going to like get people excited about it.
I think people are already excited about it. Like, I feel their excitement right now as I'm saying it. They're like putting in their to-do list. Brain on fire.
If you like this podcast, you'll definitely get how absurd and funny this movie is, which I think is just going to get them a couple thousand, 10,000, 20,000 views.
I know. I should reach out to Netflix and be like, did you see a spike in the brain on fire activity on the day of whatever, when this podcast comes out? And I'll bet they will.
They will.
And I want you to email me too if you watch Brain on Fire and I need to know your thoughts.
Yeah. I love feedback. Even though I'm only part of a 3-episode arc, I'm really into the feedback. And even though my first episode hasn't even gone live yet,
I know.
I can't wait for the feedback.
I know.
And I hope by the time the third one we tape that I get a little.
I wanted to talk about something that's we've both been through had a history with. Because it's like, it's
I think
dark.
Anyone's who's ever made anything has done it.
So Ed, when we were going through and like making his Amazon wish list, he was like, you have to help me because he's a nana and doesn't know like how to put the wish list together. So
and by the way, my phone was
guidance.
Being difficult.
What? Oh, yeah. Amazon was being the Amazon app. Like, I need to speak with Jeff Bezos like ASAP because the app has issues and it's very difficult to make a wish list on the Amazon
app.
If we
know someone that works at Facebook, chances are you have a reader that works at Amazon.
Yeah, there's got to be some Amazon readers out there, and I need you to connect with me so we can fix these glitches so that more people can have wish lists.
It's not user-friendly, and Alexa's not doing it.
So I'm helping him with his Amazon, and we uncover a treasure trove of Amazon reviews that, and I find out that not only is Ed's Amazon name major music fan, but that he's left like, how many reviews?
I think it was like 80.
It was like 80 reviews on Amazon of a lot of music and just like random
couple
movies. Couple of books. Did you review any products?
No.
You have a lot of opinions that you feel comfortable sharing online under a pseudonym.
Pseudonym.
And
father of two.
Your bio said father of two.
I've since erased everything, so you can't find it.
No, you can't find it. You can only find one now.
I left one review.
You left one review, and I want you to read it because it was actually really good.
It's a review for David Cronenberg's Crash.
Yeah,
from the 90s.
Please read it because you have opinions and you love making them known, but you don't want them to ever be tied back to you.
No, and we're not going to name names, but I certainly made my voice heard.
You definitely
in Amazon
did.
Review land.
But what I really liked is that you would say in your review.
I doubled down on my father of two.
You doubled down on your identity as a father of two. And you'd be like, as a father of two, I really thought this album would resonate with me. Because it's like dad rock. But as a father of two, I have to disagree. You would say it like multiple times in your review. Which makes me
so
wonder,
babe.
Like,
babe? It's like, but that was the mid-aughts. And I was starting my career and I had to like assert some sort of, I don't know.
But it really was like, I feel like everyone just has like an internet babe history.
I mean, come on. Do you. Yours is still live. You're not afraid of it.
What?
Your review of your own book.
Oh, yeah. I reviewed my own book for sure.
You were like, this is amazing. No, whoever the author is.
Wait, read your review of David Cronenberg's Crash and then
I'll
read my review.
Well, it's not pulled up. I mean, you'll edit it, but I find it. Why is this website so unuser friendly?
It's not user friendly. Like, you can order
this part in the podcast. Horrible.
We're like trying to find our Amazon reviews and it's like impossible. And it's like when you have to do anything other than shop, things become very complicated on Amazon.
Feedback, cancellation, nothing.
Please, let's tweet and Instagram Jeff Bezos to like fix this.
I think there's a reader that works in
some
department.
He's another older hottie in my day. He belongs in the David Rudolph. You're not into Jeff?
No.
Oh my God. He's like a bald muscle daddy. I could do a whole podcast on Jeff, but I'll save it. Okay, read your review.
So I erased a lot of reviews because I don't want to get in trouble. And also I want you guys to visit my wish list and know that I have wishes out there,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird because I think a lot of you might think I'm dead inside, but I'm not. I've got wishes and goals and dreams.
You're not dead inside. The thing about the wish list is everyone has wishes and it's like, I encourage everyone to make a wish list no matter what.
Yeah. And I think what you were saying was, and I think it's a really good idea, is that everyone that comes on your show in the future should make a wish list.
Yeah. I decided that every guest that I have will make a wish list and we'll share it with the readers and then they can decide if they want to participate.
And
there's
what would
no
be
pressure.
Really great for self-esteem of all your guests at the end is if you tally up who got the most
no, I
gifts at the end and then rank them publicly.
No, I would let the guests and do whatever they want to do with publicizing their wish list. I love an unboxing moment and I've really found an audience with that journey, so I will continue to share, but they can just either love it or leave it. It doesn't matter to me. I won't control them.
Okay.
So go ahead. Okay, read your Amazon review.
The only review that I left public and live was for the movie called Crash, not the one that won an Oscar.
No.
Which I didn't like at all.
At first, when you said that you'd love to review for that movie, I was 100% on board because that movie is like worthless.
That movie.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's a terrible movie. And I actually think this might be divisive with readers because people that I never would expect would like that movie are like, oh my God, Crash is so amazing. Like, tackles like police and like religion. I'm like, no.
The first time I ever watched Crash, I was so deeply moved by it. I was like, wow, that movie was incredible. Like, what a journey.
Oh, I was immediately
like, but then
like,
the second time I watched
like,
it,
trivializing some bullshit.
No, then the second time I watched it, I was like, this movie fucking sucks.
It's so cliche and dumb. And Paul Thomas Anderson is one of...
That's not Paul Thomas Anderson.
Who is it?
It's Paul Haggis.
Oh, shit. Well,
so don't even worry. Because it's not PTA.
PTA also has divisive movies, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I always in my mind have thought that Crash was part of the lexicon.
No, babe. No.
I'm sorry, my bad.
Paul Haggis did Million Dollar Baby, too.
Oh, then I'm just not a...
You're not...
But didn't Paul Haggis do Breaking the Waves?
I don't know. I don't even know what that is.
Because I love that movie. Can you look that up?
Read your review. Come on.
Oh, God. Jesus. All right. So, this might be hard for a lot of you to understand because I don't know how old you are, but just so you know, this movie is called
Crack. You're not like 80 years old.
I'm turning 40 this year. And I'm referencing a movie from the early 90s.
I'm sure they've seen it.
Well, anyways, this review was published on February 3rd, 2000. Love. Pre-9/11.
18 years ago.
18 years ago. More.
18 and a half years ago.
Yeah. Put that in your cap and smoke it. Or pipe. Anyways, so the headline is one star only.
Love.
Stop or my mom will shoot was better than this, dot, dot, dot. This movie isn't bad because of the explicit sex scenes. It's bad because it thinks it's good, when in reality it is dull, pretentious, and ridiculous. It's laugh out loud dumb, before I knew about lol. It is officially the worst movie I have ever seen, dot, dot, dot. And the only reason I'm writing this review is to dispel all rumors that this is a quote-unquote chilling take on the hollowness of the modern world. It's not. It's not chilling. It doesn't have a take on anything except bad sex. Funniest scene, Holly Hunter has just seen her husband fly out her windshield and die. Mm-hmm. And she sees across the way that a guy who hit her car, killing her husband, is cute. So she proceeds to take off her seatbelt, rip off her shirt, casually start massaging herself. Anyways, if that sounds interesting to you, go for it. But it is not intellectual or interesting. It is just tried. I think I meant to say tired. It is tired. Or no.
It's tried and true. Horrible.
No, it just tried to gather attention with its NC-17 rating. Like I said, I saw this years ago. And by the way, this was published in 2000, so it's a mid-90s movie. And it is still the worst movie of all time.
My God, you felt...
That's my first review ever, and that's the only review I'll keep public.
You felt so passionate about that.
Also, I was underage, and I got in.
I love that.
But I saw, when I watched that movie, half the movie theater leave, and I don't blame them, because it was... What is the point of that movie? And if a reader has like an interesting take on the movie, I'd love to hear about it.
Well, here's my interesting take, and I haven't seen that movie, but I know...
The hollowness of the modern world?
I know what it is like... About it's like about people that get like turned on by car crashes
and like death
and like they love stitches to like fuck.
And like they lick like wounds and stuff.
I love that. I feel like I would love this.
You
movie.
Might love it. And that's I don't want any more.
Would you ever watch it again?
Maybe. And if we like took a toke and like had like kind of a Chloe Moretz Bring Wall on Fest. Fire moment, but I don't want another like sharing toothbrush moment with you where we just can't agree.
I know. I hate that.
I hated that.
Yeah,
that was really, hard.
That was hard. That was a fight.
It's a huge
fight. We had a fight on the podcast.
We were really, really struggling.
Things got tense. They did.
Didn't get tense at all. I love to play up a drama, though.
You love a drama.
Especially after the past dramas.
I have two reviews. One is for a friend's book, but one is for my own book. Because when your book comes out, you need to like... Be your own hype man.
To be honest, I think that I reviewed my own albums, but then later felt shame and deleted it because when I looked back, I couldn't find the reviews, but I'm almost positive the reason I created a profile that said Father of Two was that so that no one could trace it to me.
Well, my Amazon profile is totally like not me. Like it says SML from Chicago, Illinois, USA, and I'm not.
Well, you went to college
there.
I'm
kind of like that, but also not. And
you
I
probably
think
started
a,
it in
it's
college.
It's a profile photo of Mariah Carey.
Which I love.
Yeah.
That's babe exclamation point for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, very. And so I left a review of my book, which I did this on in the iTunes store. And then my agent at the time saw it and shamed me. And then so I figured
stop
out.
Stop shaming people for reviewing stop, their like, own books
you
and
should
music.
Review your own book. Like you that, got to. To me, that is like a legitimately okay thing to
you
do.
You work so hard and everyone's just downloading it for free. You might as well just chime in and be like, this rules.
Yeah. Like I'm here to like hype myself and like spread the word that the book is great. So I did. And so on White Girl
What's
Problems,
the date?
On February 1st, 2012.
Okay, so after, I'm February 3rd, 2000. So it's
12 years later.
12 years
I took
later.
To Amazon.
Just under 2 days shy of 12 years yeah. later. You took to Amazon with your own
years
thing.
And 363 days later, I took to Amazon to write my first ever Amazon review
and you
of
had
my
something
own book.
To say.
And I had something to say.
Which I respect.
And what's great, oh, Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
By the way, my review got 7 people found this review helpful.
18 people found it. Oh, well, yours really. So I wrote mine also in the tone of like not myself because I was.
You were kind of being like father of two.
Yeah. I was kind of father of twoing. So, okay. Because I was shamed from the iTunes review. So I thought I'll take a different tone that's not really me, but just. Let me see if I can sell this book in the review. So you tell me if I'm selling you on it.
All right, go.
Obsessed by SML on February 1st, 2012. At first I had my doubts, but the title caught my eye, so I bought it. Also for $8.39, I'll buy just about anything. Kel Surprise. This book is hysterical in all caps. I was literally laughing from start to finish, and I couldn't wait to find out what was going to happen to Babe next. She's a bitch. But the bitch is like with asterisks, like from B asterisks, 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 H. Like not okay to cuss. I felt like that would resonate with a reader. They'd be like, oh, silly.
She was really hiding her true self.
Yeah. That's also, you'd be like, that wasn't Lara.
That's not Lara at all.
She's a bitch. But I totally want to be her. Birkin's Babette. You'll get it when you read it. And all. Because you have to give him a little incentive.
Yeah, you'll get it when you read it.
I agree with the other reviewer. The only problem with this book is that it's over after 288 pages. You go, Babe Walker.
My favorite thing about your review, and frankly, I almost wish that I hadn't erased my reviews of my own work like probably about 7 years ago, is that you start off with what you think is going to really throw off anyone that's suspicious with I had my doubts.
At first I had my doubts.
Yeah. Which is a true, in a psycho's brain, like you're like, well, no one's going to catch on to me now.
Well, I was like, if people are reading the reviews and they're really like combing through.
And they're like, it's a skeptic.
Yeah. Cause I'm a big review reader. Like I love like any sort of restaurant. Like I will extensively like get deep into Yelp reviews and like I want to know everything. So I'm from that perspective, I'm like, okay, well, what do I have to do to suck someone in and make them believe that this would be a good book to purchase?
You've got to pretend that you were not interested to begin with.
I'm over it to begin with.
Yeah, you were over it to start. I think I might have done something on one of my own reviews.
The title caught my eye.
I might have been like, I heard a lot of hype, but
no. I was like very calculate because I'm trying to sell. So I'm like,
so am I.
Not only did the title catch my eye, but the price point was really good.
That's where it starts to feel a little bit like it's you selling.
For $8.
When you start talking about money and how cheap it is, that's when I'm just like, this review might be fake. In retrospect.
But also that's kind of true. Like for $8.39, I will buy just about anything.
But you know what? For $8.39, you can buy any album in the world and no one will spend that on an album.
Yeah, but that's because like the music industry got fucked.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you won't buy an album, so you won't buy
it. No, because you can get it for free.
Yeah, and I can get your book for free.
Where?
Torrents.
I guess you could torrent a book, but it's hard. Do you even know how to do that?
Not at all.
Exactly. There was when
I'm trying to prove a point, okay? I'm trying to say that people will pay more for a mozzarella stick than they will for 4 years of hard work on a book or an album.
But people buy books kind of still.
I know, because it's like...
It's a different industry.
It's like vinyl. It's like, oh, look at it on my shelf. Like,
I'm like, I like a physical, or I want to download it on my Kindle. Like, there's a lot of different options to engage with a book. And like, no one has truly... I mean, like, I feel like the internet really fucked with publishing. But like, it didn't, not to the extent that it fucked with the music industry. Which is
we're fucked.
Not fucked.
Well... A band of our size is fucked, but like if we were bigger and I could, and I was younger and cuter and I could just get like branding deals, then it would be like chic as fuck. And I'd be like, that's amazing. Like, I love this industry. If like a nail polish company or like a sneaker company was like, hey, just like mention our company and you'll get like this amount of money, like fun.
But you could.
No, because no one approaches me for that because I'm not really an influencer, just an FYI.
I mean, you have 600,000 followers. You do get like influencer stuff.
I'm just going to lay this out for the babe readers is that the only reason I have so many followers is because I was an early adopter at Instagram. I was about to say Amazon because we've been talking about Instagram so much.
You were an early adopter of Amazon, too.
I was. I mean, 2000 February 3rd, my review.
You've been 18 years. You've been at it.
I'm an early adopter with the internet. But Instagram contacted me within like 8 months of them launching, being like, oh, like, it looks like you really like our, like, platform. We'd love to profile you, like, working on your album. And I was like, great. And back then, they used to do this thing called suggested user, where, like, every time you'd sign up, like, it would just be like, oh, follow these people.
Promote you.
Yeah. So I got all of these people that follow me that have no idea what I'm doing. But and what, they're all dormant. I think they're all
so
just...
So your engagement level is not high.
It's not that high, no. And I can admit it. Because I'm... coming to terms with a lot of things in my life,
yeah,
especially my Instagram engagement level. Mm-hmm. But if you readers want to...
Most of all, your Instagram. All.
But if the readers want to help me, just comment and like, and that would help me a lot. And maybe I could get a Nike endorsement deal for a change.
Well, yeah, you could also just become... I mean, you have... The interesting thing about having 600,000 followers on Instagram is that
But people are too savvy now. 4 years ago, you could fool them and be like, yeah... And I did.
Well, yeah, but you could also just like, you could figure out a way to like, that's not nothing. That still is like, if you've, so, okay, so you have 600,000, but even if you have 200,000 people that are like,
I would wager to say that it's 100,000 people that are still alive and awake paying attention.
That's still good.
It's not bad, but it's like, it's kind of now in this day and age, it's like a mill or nothing.
No, it's not. There's been a whole trend of micro influencers that like goes, it's all about now, like people are focusing on people with smaller, more engaged audiences.
Well, you know what? If there's any readers out there that want to sponsor me or have me do a SponCon moment for a micro influencing kind of moment, I'm totally down.
Just I love that you're me. Like, guess what? I have this. It means nothing. No one's engaged. Well, but no, also it- now I think I am. About, so like, if you do want it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've got to hustle.
You're not really giving the Lara Marie Shane Hall's hard sell on your...
That's because I'm being real and I'm really into being honest these days. I am.
Yeah.
When I look in the mirror, I've got to talk to myself and speak the truth.
The interesting thing about my review is that 5 years ago, someone found it and then responded to it and to said, then...
You're the
recommend
author.
Something oh. to me to buy. And here's what they said to me. Hey, LMS, I totally agree with you. If you loved it so much, you will also enjoy No Whore District. Oh. It has a very similar style. The only main difference is that the center of attention are in this book men of different sizes and races rather than clothes. As far as I know, it's now only available on Amazon Kindle for less than $3. Money worth and a great laughter are guaranteed.
Sounds like the author.
Sounds like the author, definitely. But I'm like...
An author-to-author moment. It's an author-to-author moment where it's like, you want a deal? And you say $8.50 is your threshold?
I know,
well, I'll give you $3.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Called back to the price because they knew I was like
an author.
Tag. Yeah. But now it's not available. So I will never know what No Whore District is about a lot of men that are different races.
I'm about to promote this podcast like crazy because I want a lot of readers to come in and give feedback because I love it.
You love it.
Are we ready to go to Yelp?
Yeah, let's go to Yelp because that's truly, I think at the beginning of our friendship.
It was like, one of our first lols.
This was one of our first lols is like we went out on the town one night and then at the end of the night we were coming back to your place and you revealed to me that you had an alter ego on Yelp named Evan D.
Not Edward D.
Not Edward D. Evan D. And you had left how many?
I'll tell you right now. 152 reviews. The last one was over 4 years ago.
So
but the one before that was over 6 years ago. The one that the
Yelp
one over 4 years ago
are the biggest, some of the biggest babes in the world.
I
like I live for a Yelp review.
I'm a babe.
You are.
But
we
also
all are.
I'm all forms of babe.
Yeah, same. Everyone is.
And frankly,
but that's what this is about.
I think my reviews are highly entertaining, but I insist that Lara reads the highlights.
Okay, yeah.
I know the good ones, and obviously the negative ones are the good ones, because the positive ones are just literally like, I love the like foie gras. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, who cares?
You love, you're also a bit of a foodie.
Oh, I'm a foodie.
You're a foodie.
Okay, so Lara, take it away. This is my most recent review for Evan D. And the last one, it's over 4 years ago.
I'm dying. Okay.
This is in San Francisco.
Evan D., whose profile says about him, I love quality shit. You have 25 friends on Yelp, 152 reviews, location, Brooklyn, New York, yelping since December 2007. You've been yelping for 11 years.
Well, but look at the last review.
Well, yeah, but you're not so active.
My peak was 2007 to like 2012. That's when I peak Yelped.
Was this like beginning of your band, like on tour, just like having not a lot
to do? No, I had like a side venting, like where I just needed to talk about like how like restaurants are just like not okay. Some of them just weren't okay with me.
I love that you're like, I'm really busy with this other stuff, but like this is my side thing that I need.
Well, you're on a bus. You've got time to like fume.
I love it. Okay. Evan D. reviewed Farm to Table. It's like a coffee and tea. Where is Farm to Table?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Is it still open?
I think it is. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Farm to Table. Gave it one star. Please don't be deceived by the title of this place. First of all, it's one singular table. So if you don't enjoy being crammed around other people inches from the kitchen, which is a mini convector oven and espresso machine, that's your first warning. Now that we've gotten over the fact that it's a shoebox, let's first discuss the food. Okay, maybe it's coming directly from a farm to their singular table, but I'll tell you what it isn't. Made to order. That shit is pre-made in the morning by what it seems to be an insanely stoned out / acid damaged elderly SF spirit mistress. The menu, which was basically four things, sounded okay in it. Yes, Starbucks now has a fancy SF bakery sending its stuff instead of cardboard muffins from North Dakota way. Insanely basic food. Which, if done right, I guess is a yay. This place is a giant nay. The scone was rock hard. The egg situation was a situation. But I think what made this place numero uno offender and reason for me to actually log back onto Yelp 2 years after my last review and scream some reason into the nothingness of the internet was the price point / service. You're going to pay for some seriously boring shit here, and you are going to wait a long time for it to be reheated for you. And when you get it, you will get it at their leisure with zero friendly vibe. You can, if you are lucky, sit outside in the fog and cold and sit on a weirdly misguided City Park's public grass chair spot. So you might have to jockey for a spot there as well. Definitely don't ask for things like no sugar in your coffee. That what they served all their coffee was sugar.
Just wait.
This is amazing.
Thank you.
This is really good writing.
I think I'm pretty good. I did study journalism when I went to college.
Great writing. Like, you've written for Vogue.com. This is better.
Yeah. It's my best piece of work.
On their chalkboard, they tout their very special iced coffee, which is just an imitation of Blue Bottle's New Orleans situation. And now overly familiar cold brew with sugar. I asked for it with no sugar, please. I grabbed a scone. My partner waited 40 minutes for his reheated egg situation. After his eggs came my iced coffee, saturated in simple syrup. I muscle my way through the crowd. Why it's crowded, I have no idea. To return it politely. The acid victim looks confused, her thinning gray hair gently falling into various plates of food. Acid spirit. You want sugar in your coffee? Me. No, thank you. I told you no sugar, please. Acid spirit. So you want iced coffee with sugar, which is our specialty? Me. No, thank you. I'd like iced coffee without sugar. Is that possible? Acid spirit. I guess so, although that's not our specialty. Meanwhile, I'd already had a bafflingly long conversation the first time I ordered it about the easiest of requests. No sugar. 20 minutes later, literally, she comes stumbling out like a zombie. Then out of nowhere, the 60s spirit decides to dish up some serious passive-aggressive Bay Area righteousness to me. Acid spirit, here's your iced coffee without sugar. Me, thank you. Acid spirit, let me stand here and watch you take the first sip to make sure you like it, said with exaggerated smile and barely veiled annoyance. I'm too cold and bored and over it to even ice her bullshit back, so I just say, yep, there's no sugar, just how I like it. She leaves, we leave, we never go back. I advise you steer clear of this little turdling of a spot. That is truly like J.R.R. Tolkien levels of Yelp review writing. Like, you literally were like, exterior, farm to table.
It's tried my hardest to give it a
How
good...
How long did that take you?
I don't know.
That
would have
taken
me
2 days to write.
Half
that.
An hour. I was fuming.
This was amazing.
Thank you.
You might have found your calling. If the band stuff doesn't work
out... Should I come back to be a Yelp reviewer?
You should come back.
Who's going to pay me?
Oh, I think you should become a restaurant reviewer.
Oh, that would be
a
fun.
A food critic. You'd be great at that. This is amazing. Really good. I would read...
If the LA Times or San Francisco Chronicle had reviewed that, farm to table would be...
Mm-mm.
But how many useful votes did it get?
Let's see. I want to see what people thought.
How many lols are useful or...
I can't see.
So I think it's at the bottom.
At the very bottom? At the bottom of the review.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at the bottom of the review.
Did they take away that aspect where you could like...
I don't know.
Oh, it used to be like 4 people lolled.
Yeah.
People,
I don't know how it shows
they
up
took
like,
it away.
On an iPad. That's incredible.
Thank you. I mean... I'm really trying to like be honest with people that are out there about
farm to table
in San Francisco, but I also have 152 other reviews
that's
that are
insane.
Trying to be.
We need to link the readers to Yelp.
I want them to see it.
They need to see
also,
it.
Also, half of these places are closed, maybe because of my reviews.
Well,
but hold on, I'm trying to find another really good one for you.
Really
that's
good
from
one
Miami. Did you love that? You're
I
like,
love
that's
it.
Your best writing ever.
That truly is your best writing ever. Like, you channel, like, I'm like, I love your music. That's like my number one love. But this is like almost eclipses it. It's a close second. Like it's a viable backup career.
Oh, here. This is a great one. This is from Miami. Red light. It's closed now.
Oh my God.
But I don't think I closed it. This place was just a disaster.
7 years ago, red light was Caribbean food.
Miami. It was during Art Basel. The one and only time I went.
In all my Yelping days. Scratch that. In all my days, I have never disliked a restaurant more than I do Red Light. Having just been in Miami for Art Basel and wanting to check out some locally loved eating spots, Michael's Genuine was delicious, albeit crowded and kind of cheesy. You keep it real. You'll give it up, but then you'll keep it real. We were very excited to try James Beard. Does that even mean anything now? Awarded Red Light. This is so foodie. It's next level.
Love it.
Evan D is the number one foodie.
You love Evan D.
I love a foodie because I really do. My theory is all foodies are babes, and it's true. And
I put the question mark?
Just babe.
I'm sorry.
This is a babe question mark and exclamation point.
I think I'm writing great reviews that are
this
helping
actually,
the public save their money.
This is, it would. I would see this and I would be like, ooh, I don't know if I want to go there.
It's closed now.
Yeah, exactly.
Finish the review.
I'll finish it. But I'm like, this is making my life. Okay, so.
You forgot about Evan D.
I did. A touch off the beaten trail. That's okay with us. On a beautiful canal. Sounds great. This canal had more in common with a Gowanus sewer canal of Brooklyn than anything.
Gowanus.
What? I don't know what Gowanus is.
You never lived
is.
In Brooklyn.
I never lived in Brooklyn.
Rephrase it. Gowanus.
This canal had more in common with a Gowanus sewer canal of Brooklyn than anything remotely picturesque. That's okay. We can do rough around the edges. That's the mystique. Woo! We were the largest table. Made a reservation. Arrived on time. Sat down on time. All is good. Patio is not really so nice. There's a cat wandering around. Compact, fluorescent lighting, zero ambiance. Man, this food must be good. First things first, the waitress was possibly the worst I've had in quite some time. The first thing she said was that the best thing on the menu was the snapper. Then they told us they were out of it. Okay, thank you. She would casually wander in and out of our lives at her own leisure, acting more like a ditzy zombie than anything else. We order drinks. One by one, they come at a snail's pace. They aren't good. The Sazerac is a mess. I'm putting that on your fucking headstone. The Sazerac is a mess. Here lies Edward Drosty. The Sazerac is a mess. We decide to sample all sorts of appetizers. There was some salad described as crazy salad on the menu or
Literally.
Something of that nature. We ordered some BBQ ribs. We ordered various entrees. 1 hour later, the first dish arrived. 1 hour. We kept pleading with the wait staff. Zombie girl vanished. A new guy would check in if we were lucky. He told us this is a very special kitchen and they do things so specially that it takes them lots of time to make the special things. This crazy salad sure better be special. It was literally no joke, Denny's salad bar situation. Some iceberg lettuce, some oil, zero flavor, some random veggies. It was straight out of an airplane catering cart. Gross. How about that special gumbo? No, just some small rubbery shrimp and a musty flavor. Kind of felt canned. Zero presentation for anything. Mind you, one gumbo came. 20 minutes later, another came. This was obviously just ladled from a pot, but took an hour. Then the crazy salad came. Then the ribs came. They were just all kinds of wrong. The meat was tough and chewy and essentially flavorless. As an insane lover of all things meat, I was barely able to get down a few bites. It had the taste of being old and neglected, much like we were. Good way to bring it back. I love that.
Good writing.
Great writing. Everyone is starting to panic.
They literally were. It's the founders of Refinery 29, Philip and Pierre and Justin. And everyone was getting cranky and angry because they were so hangry. And people were having like a panic.
How long were you there at this point?
Hours. Hours. Like
2 hours?
Probably about 2 hours at this point. Starving.
Oh my God. My friends order another Red Stripe and out comes a bottle that looks like Red Stripe, but it's called Prestige. The waiter says, "We're out of Red Stripe. You have Prestige. Thanks for letting us choose, dude." The vegetarians right now are dying, and each time a waiter appears, they arrive empty-handed. It's been about 2 hours, and we had plans afterwards, so for the first time ever, I don't think any of us had done this, we decided to tell him we were leaving and to cancel the rest of the food. On the way to relay the message, we found our first waitress. She was picking up cat shit with napkins in the stairwell. It was a fitting farewell. Fucking disgusting. Avoid this place. I mean, you had a terrible experience and you took to Yelp and aired your grievances.
My favorite is that when we were leaving, we finally found our first waitress and she was dealing picking with up cat shit.
Wait, did anyone ever write back to you on your Yelp reviews? Because now when I look on Yelp, I always see like the owner, the manager will be like, "Hey, Evan D, thank you so much for giving us the feedback. Like, we would love for you to come in again." Like, has anyone ever done that with you?
I think I was in too early an adopter.
Mm-hmm.
Adopter.
Now people were like, are so like customer service-y, like real.
What's the date of this review?
This one was just says over 7 years ago.
Oh, well, do you want one more or should we move on?
I think we'll move on.
Okay.
But I will post your link to the patrons so they can see what we're dealing with Evan D's.
To be honest, you wrote probably
a book's worth of Yelp reviews.
Honestly, I feel like the readers are going to really enjoy and respect my opinion because I am a foodie and I'm going to steer you into good vibes.
No. So wait, what are your favorite restaurants now?
In LA?
Yeah. Or just like anywhere. Just tell the readers some, now that you've established that you're
A foodie
who knows what they're talking about. I'm just seeing how many words.
So in America, North America, excluding Canada, because I don't really know their sushi situation, the best sushi I've ever had is actually in LA. It's called Sushi Park, and the price the price per sushi piece is not cheap, but compared to the ones that are really, really high end, you're getting a huge bang for your buck. Like, it is literally so good.
I thought they had just like a fixed rate omakase or something.
They do, but like you could make a mistake and be like, "One more shrimp," and then like add $30 to you. So like you got to be careful with that. But it's so good. It's my favorite thing. Omakase at Sushi Park. I love Night and Market Song. There's two locations. La Bestia. I love Baco Mercat. I'm just going to do LA places.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the place in Venice that is called Jelena, but Jelena's sister little deli spot
Giusta.
Is way Giusta. I like that way more.
Yeah.
It's got just so much yummy stuff there. It's all, again, foodie talk, overpriced. And frankly,
I mean, nothing is.
Just get me a goddamn dip tea candle and we'll call it a day.
I love that. I feel like you're really close to getting that.
I feel like after hearing my reviews, people might.
People, I value your
I did put steak
opinion,
on my
trust,
wish list.
I trust your opinion on food.
And I did
and
put steak.
And you did put a lot of food-related items on your wish. Yeah, you're very passionate about that. So I feel like we're discovering just like possibilities.
And to be honest, I'm not going to lie to the readers. I'm going through a hard time and a gift would be fun.
You, I just calculated how many words you might, because I was like, okay, I think these are like 500 words each maybe.
What were they?
You've written probably like 60,000 words, which is a book. That's like what White Girl Problems was. Like it was like 60,000.
Well, can I say something? I'm a writer.
You are.
I went to school for journalism.
I love that.
And things didn't go my way because I saw, when I was in school for journalism at NYU, I had a dream of writing for The New Yorker. You know, we all love The New Yorker. It's an amazing publication.
That's what you wanted to do?
Yeah. I was just like, I want to be a writer for The New Yorker. That's like my dream for everything.
Like doing journalism or short stories or
I was more into like essays.
Okay.
And like also just sort of like front of book vibes where it's like current events, but like with a twist, like a take, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I have some older cousins that I'm really close with. Like a good like 10 or 12 years older. And at the time I was probably 21 or two and they had invited me to a few parties and they had a friend and she was like, oh my God, I think her name's Marissa. I don't even know if she writes for it anymore, but she was like, I just got my first front of New Yorker piece. And I was like, that is so cool. And I was like 22, like at a party, like drinking a Heineken, just like doing it up, just being mm-hmm. like, I'm with older people, like cool. Like,
yeah.
Manhattan life, you know? And then I was like, wait, in my brain, not to her. I was like, how old are you? And I was like, 45? Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm turning 40 this year.
Yeah. You're about to, you're
yeah, I'm about to turn 40, but I'm also like, still another 5 years to go mm-hmm. till I get to Marissa's level. And yeah. It literally pays $300. And that's back then mm-hmm. when they were like valuing journalism.
Yeah.
So then I had like a revelation where I was just like, wow. So if I want to do what I love, which at the time was writing, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be an essayist and like discuss current events and do all that kind of stuff for like respected publications like Harper's and New York Magazine mm-hmm. and The New Yorker and all that kind of thing, it's going to take me a good 25 years to get $300 to get in the front of the book. And that was a huge wake-up call for me.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, well, that's not worth it for me.
Yeah.
It's not going to be satisfying for me. For some people, it's satisfying, and I respect that, and I love them, and I want them to babe out and be like the journalists that they are and the writers that they are and like live their truth and like finally get into the publications that they respect and love. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was like, I don't have 20 plus years of patience to get enough money to go for like a fancy sushi dinner as a foodie. I've just got to put it into foodie terms.
Yeah, put it into foodie terms.
I mean, like,
writing is definitely not like a moneymaker across the board.
But especially writing when you're striving to be in sort of like literary journals, like the Paris Review or something.
It's interesting because like,
writing for a TV show is lucrative.
Writing for a TV show is lucrative. And like writing for a book, like my book deals with like when I was doing White Girl Problems were lucrative at the time. And like, but that's deceptive because not all writing is like that. And like you can definitely get, I mean, there's staff positions at publications like The New Yorker or whatever else that will like you'll get on a salary that's probably pretty competitive for that field. But I don't know. It was just like a deceptive journey when I like, and my journey as a writer was so unexpected where it just happened kind of all of a sudden.
It's kind of how music happened. It was like unexpected.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, okay. Well, I literally went from being on unemployment and like random freelancing, like the worst type of like freelancing production jobs to then I had a book deal and I was like, I'm an author. Like I'm a writer. Like this is insane.
You are a writer. And you're
well,
a
I am,
writer.
But like it was 0 to 60 so fast. And I feel like when you're looking at something that you really like love to do, cause I kind of had that same thing with acting. Cause that's like what I started out doing like growing up. and like
I've seen the modeling shots.
You've seen the modeling shots, but like I went to school like my freshman year of college for like acting in like a triple threat theater program at Oklahoma City University. And I really like after the first year, I mean obviously like people in acting school are pretty like gnarl to me, but then I mean, it's like a lot of personalities to like deal with. They're like
trying
very, they think they're the worst kind of gnoll, which is they think they're so lol, but that's truly just like a gnoll all around. So like,
I hate that kind.
It was like very,
you have to fake a lol.
I wouldn't even, I was just like, oh my God, like get me out of here. Like, I'll just like, whatever, take the notes or do the monologue, like let me go. And then after that year, I was like, okay, what? I'm going to do this for 4 years, like spend my entire college education like doing this. And then that's not, there's no guarantee. Like you still, it doesn't matter if you have formal training or not. It's like, you just get out there. So then it was like, I really reframed and then decided to do something pretty much exactly adjacent. I was like, I'll be a director. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to go to film school, which is equally...
love that for you.
Almost like, almost equally as worthless, except I did learn like actual like software and like techniques and like how to make a film.
How's that working out now?
Great. It actually worked out really well for this podcast.
Does it still translate the technology you learned then?
Yeah. Well, like I learned
because it's always I learned Pro Tools for music, and then I can't even understand the new Pro Tools now.
Well, I just learned basic like commands and stuff. So when I started podcasting on my own and like producing and editing podcasts, I realized like I've had experience with editing software, like with audio. Like I know what to, I know just like the bare minimum of what to look for. Like I wasn't just starting from ground zero, which was helpful, but like. It's just interesting when you're young, what is so important to you versus when you get older, what's important to you as far as like work and job life is concerned.
I think it's also crazy when you're older that you, like you start to have to value salary, which is like really like something that like when you're younger, you're like, I am not looking for the money. You know what I mean? Like, you're not trying to be like the sellout or whatever. And like, when you get older and you want to have a home or a dog or a child or whatever that costs money, it's very much becomes like this stressor. It's a stress, it's a stress thing in your life where it's not like, and neither of us are pretending like we're check to check. You know, we're not like, the bottom of the barrel. Like we are.
No,
I'm just not, this isn't a pity call. I'm just saying like when you get older, your sort of idealism that you had when you were younger has to take sometimes a back seat, but it is kind of crazy because you're young and you think like, oh, like this is what I want to do. Like I just want to write for the New Yorker, you know, like you're just like, that's what I want to do. I'm going to do it. And then like, thank God I like went to that party and like didn't pursue it for 10 years and like waste my time like interning for free. Like that was the, I mean, no shade to like a 1 year intern, but like a 5 to 6 year intern for free is honestly, readers, please don't do that.
No, don't. Please, I mean, don't. I think
6 months max, actually. My opinion.
I would say 6 months max, but even like 3 months max.
Yeah, you've got to have a promise at the end. And like the free work market that's out there right now, and it's getting worse and worse because everyone's just like photographers are literally like established photographers. And this is crazy to me.
Like
this
who?
Crazy. I'm talking about like people that are like have done huge campaigns for Nike, you know, like I'm not, like they're not names that people are going to know per se, but like, you know, some magazine, like another magazine, which is just some sort of chic Parisian, like whatever, like, you know, fashion journey. They're like, it's an honor for you to be like shooting our editorial. So it's like, you just have to like do it for free. And that's been that way for a long time. But like, it's just so crazy right now, given the expenses of things. And like, I mean, it's always been crazy, but like, I just find that that level of like where we are right now, where we're just like, you're lucky to be involved, is kind of just like, fuck you.
Well, I think a lot of that too, like comes down to you have to really set a boundary and say like, this is what I know I'm worth. And this is what I want to be paid. And
no, but we're like in our 30s. It's like a lot of people don't know that.
I know, but it's like, it's hard as a freelancer or creative who like, because I supplement with like random freelance jobs that will happen here and there, and like do like I'll work with like advertising firms and like as just a freelancer come up and like do like campaigns or write copy for them. But it's hard to have a conversation about money like that. And that's like something that I've never had to do before or like get good at. And so part of me, like part of just like having like that side hustle, because that's not something I really want to do for a living, but it's something I really enjoy. And yeah. It's like, especially if I'm working with like fashion or in entertainment, like getting to work on like a campaign or a brand is like fun. But the conversation when it comes down to money makes me so uncomfortable, but I just try and remember like you have to like know your value and then go in and be confident being like, I'll do this for this much.
Yeah.
And be willing to walk away if people are like,
because
I had
honest,
recently, I had a people, situation
people
where
people get sucked into those situations and there's no payback.
Well, yeah, but I had a situation.
They don't get acknowledged. They don't get the credit. Someone else takes the credit.
No, you might as well just like get the money. Like that's what it's about at the end of the day. Like hopefully the work is like kind of fun or easy. And
I mean,
you get
so
paid.
Many people take credit for younger or like, unestablished people's work.
Yeah. But like I got approached by people from like a very established like American magazine, like for their online, they were doing like a video for like a legitimate like A-list celebrity. And they found my email address out of like, I don't know how they even got connected with me, but then approached me and were like, hey, we really want you to write this. Like the turnaround's really tight. Like, would you want to like write a script for this? And I'm like, yeah, I definitely do. Like, let's talk more. Like I'll loop my manager into this email and we'll just like hash it out. And then it slowly, as it turned into like, let's have a legitimate conversation about this. And like, obviously like I'm 34 years old. Like I don't do shit for free. Like, that's just not, like, I just don't. The end. Like, that's a no. And as it
I'm
became...
I'm doing this podcast for free.
Well, yeah, I'm but like...
I'm joking.
Fucking troll.
Oh, it's a troll. Come on. Troll to troll. Troll to troll.
But it's, like, one of those things where you're, like, I'm, like, okay, yeah. Like, I would really want to work on this, and like, it would be cool to say that I worked on this, but like, if you're now falling off and like ending communication when I try and like legitimize this and like come to an agreement on how much you're going to pay me, it's not like I'm asking for like 50 grand. No. Like, I'm literally asking for you to like talk to my rep, and like, if you fall off when that's happening, like, goodbye and good luck. Like, you'll find someone else to do it for free, but I just think it's like, you have to, it's you just get older and you have to like set those boundaries.
Can I also like give a little piece of advice that's on my mind that's like slightly adjacent?
Yeah.
In terms of setting boundaries, like if you're in a toxic relationship, work or relationship, romantic, I really think it's important to just honestly, finally, as you said, set the fucking boundaries. And that takes so much effort and so much like stress to do, because it's like you can be gaslighted, you can be blamed, it can turn around on you. No matter how much accountability you take for your actions, it can be like a nightmare. But you have to just learn sometimes how to walk away.
Mm-hmm. It's a release of control.
Yeah.
And it's like, how badly do you want this versus is this compromising what you know your worth is? And that, I think...
Or your, like, mental health.
Yeah, worth or mental health. And, like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of those kinds of questions that go into, like, creative...
Yeah, and creative endeavors jobs with other people become, like, actual relationships. And I don't just mean, like, friend-to-friend relationships or coworker relationships. I mean, like, when you are tethered to someone and you have to creatively work with them, it becomes like you're married to them in a way.
Yeah.
As you well know, having written a book with people and collaborated on so many things, having been in a band with people, I feel like I've been in a four-way relationship with three straight guys for 14 years.
Yeah.
And it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up and down, left and right, third dimensional, fourth dimensional, fifth dimensional. It goes everywhere, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's constant negotiations with people and like... There's
and
so
everyone's
much,
evolving in different directions.
Yeah. And there's just like so much communication that has to go into that type of relationship. And I don't know. It's just like a whole, there's it's a whole different set of factors. But I think it's kind of, it applies across all fields. It's like, no matter what you're doing, like whether you're going into like some sort of creative profession or you're going from like you're going a more traditional like route, you still have to know, like, is this A, something I want to do? And B, like, what do I bring to the table in terms of like talent or skill
and
or hard
work?
And
see how much am I appreciated?
How much am I appreciated? How much am I getting fairly compensated? Like all of those things. And that's hard to navigate because I feel like I really grew up just thinking, oh, I'm going to like go to college and like get a job. Like I didn't ever think about that kind of stuff. And then when I started to be like, when I got out of college and like started working my first internship and thought like, oh my God, I'm going to be like a film producer. Like that's amazing. Then realized that
that is amazing.
That would have been amazing. But then I realized I was like, I fucking hate this. Like, I want to die. Like, I don't want to do this. But like, I guess that's like part of life is you just like have to do a lot of things that you don't want to do.
The owner of Botanica walking by. Good restaurant. Back to foodie land.
I guess I just thought like life is a series of doing a bunch of things that you don't want to do. And then you like finally get to like a place where you like love your life and like you're so happy with what you're doing, even though it's like something that you hated from the get-go. Like I'm kind of like from where I'm at now, looking at myself in my early 20s going through that, I'm like, I did make the right decision because I really do think, and this might be like for you going back to like writing and your passions with that, like I really think that your gut instinct when you enter a situation or you find something that you really like or you find something that you really don't like, you just kind of have to trust that and then just keep working within that. And like financial stuff, like it kind of ebbs and flows in a way where it's like, yeah, maybe it took that woman like 20 years to get her like cover story or like whatever, but like that doesn't necessarily mean
front of book,
yeah, or what is that what it's called? Does or that mean like
talk of the town? It's like one of those short ones in the front.
Okay. Oh, like in the first few pages?
Well, after the listings, and then they have like those ones that are about half a page where it's like sort of like a topic for about five paragraphs.
Mm-hmm. But it's like if you're motivated and like you really want to do something and you're dead set on it and it makes you happy, money then becomes somewhat secondary. And then the like fun part comes in where you're like, okay.
Unless you literally can't survive though. Because the thing is like, I think this woman was financially supported by her family, which no shade, like that's great. Mm-hmm. But like not everyone has the opportunity to just like strive towards the front of book, like five paragraph moment in the New Yorker and be like, I did it. You know, it's like,
yeah,
like, you know, we, as you very well know,
but
like,
that's different. If she has like a trust fund and that's all she's trying to do.
No, I'm just saying like, it's like, follow your dreams. But like also at the same time, like get compensated, which is, I think we're both on the same page about.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you're not getting compensated, don't even give them the time of day.
Do it for a little. I mean, if you're young, do it for a little bit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then like use it to level up.
You said 3 months.
Yeah.
I said six.
I know. I
We'll
say
call
three
it a
six.
Compromise. Four and a half.
I go and talk to college students a lot and like give to like the students that went to the same like semester in LA program as me. And I always say like, just go dip your toe in the water in an internship. Try it out. Mm-hmm. And then literally just use it like to make connections and like go to the next place that you want really.
I'm not
going to
lie. Connections are everything. And that's been the way since forever. And it's crazy that it's still so true.
Yeah.
Like when I started the band, I hustled so hard. Like I wandered around with like burnt CDRs. Cause it was like, you know, streaming, all that shit. So it was like CDs were like how you like got the word across.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like literally go to like coffee shops, restaurants, being like, please play this in your restaurant. Please play this in your coffee shop. And I had no shame at the time.
Yeah.
No shame. And I like don't regret that. I don't know if I'd be capable of doing it now, but also like I had friends that were like interns at like a magazine that like doesn't even exist anymore. And I'd be like, is there any way you could write like just four sentences on this?
Mm-hmm.
And like that ended up, like, I have to say, like, word of advice for people that are just out there trying to like make their dreams come true. Don't be afraid of hustling and don't be afraid of asking your friends for a favor. Mm-mm. I really, really firmly believe there's no shame in asking for a fucking favor when you're trying to get your shit out there, because it's fucking hard. And it's even harder now when everything's just like a giant like vortex of like information being thrown at you and like free content. And it's like, how do you even get that to people now?
Yeah, you just have to put it out there and then saturate the marketplace or something. I'm like, that's why
I feel like there is no saturation of marketplace anymore, unless you're like a Kardashian or like a megastar.
I don't know. I mean, I'm like, that's why I have three podcasts. I'm just trying to like,
well, you're killing it.
Get it.
I'd like to say on the side.
But
should we shift to lols?
Yeah, let's shift to lols. Let's shift to the reader mail, because we have some reader mail.
I love reader mail.
Same. Dear Lara, after my friend Hitchhiking Babe recommended this podcast to me, she was featured on Reader Mail in the Find Your Light episode. I started listening to your podcast 2 weeks ago and just caught up today. Those many hours of listening to your voice truly got me through my first two treacherous weeks of corporate America. So thank you. And also thank you to the other readers, because they've asked so many questions that I can relate to. I can save my babying out stories about my love life for another moment, but right now I have a question about gay culture.
Oh.
A few months ago, on a visit to New York with my choir, I saw my cousin and his boyfriend one night. We were so cheap that we decided to just stay in and watch TV instead of going out and seeing the city. I mean,
relatable.
Yeah, same. I'm like, every night.
Good to me.
TV is my number one hobby, so I don't care. I suggested Broad City, which they also watch.
Oh, I love.
We picked a random episode, and I got ready to loll, which I desperately needed after a 13-hour bus ride with choir kids screaming the harmony to the Moana soundtrack at the top of their lungs.
13 hours.
However, the hang turned into a huge gnaw when I lolled at gay jokes made by Alana's gay brother while they sat there in silence. After the first instance, I felt so uncomfortable, and I felt like I was making fun of them by finding these jokes funny. I'm not trying to excuse myself, but I'm very used to lolling freely with my gay friends, and I was a little thrown off. I felt that maybe a gay individual making the joke made it okay, but maybe not. I want to be respectful of them and their sexuality, but I also don't want to uncomfortably wait to laugh at a joke until they do and make them feel uncomfortable. Do either of you have advice going forward on how to navigate situations like these? Love and light, choir babe.
Wow.
What do you think? You love Broad City.
First of all, I love Broad City. I've watched almost every season multiple times. What I'm going to say is that and all that happened is not
your
you
problem.
Worry about at all.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I know the gay brother, and he is a super loller and super cool and a really smart guy.
Elliot, and he has his own podcast. Elliot,
he's amazing. He's got great podcasts, lots about Golden Girls and stuff. But that's aside the point. Even if I didn't know him, I'd still say the same thing. I'm like, that's not your problem. And frankly, it'd be one thing if it was like some sort of right-wing comedy person being like making like, well, no, it would. Like, you know, if it was like Jeff Foxworthy being like, well, the fags are here again.
Honestly, I'd probably loll at that.
You probably would. I mean, you're allowed to loll at whatever you want, but you just maybe don't need to publicize it.
You're allowed to loll at whatever. And it's like, if you're going to watch a comedy thing.
But I mean, Broad City is so liberal. And if your cousin and his boyfriend like couldn't loll at that, then like that's just like a testament to the fact that the gay community isn't just a singular journey of lols.
Yeah.
And there's maybe a lot of different lols within the gays.
If you feel like you crossed a line with your lols and you feel like it created uncomfortable energy, you can always talk to them about it and just be like, hey, like, did that joke make you I felt like that joke might have made you uncomfortable. Like, why is that? And then maybe it'll uncover a way, like, they'll tell you something that you didn't know about them, and then you'll get.
My question, honestly, is how old are they? Because if they're like 18, like, I'm like, handled with care. But if they're like 35, and I would just be like, gloves off, be like, get a grip and lol.
I would just be like, I don't know if I've ever noticed if I'm lolling, if someone else is not lolling, which I'm realizing now.
Wow. That's a big revelation.
Like,
when you loll, you tune everyone else out.
When I loll for myself and like, as long as I'm lolling, it's fine. So maybe I feed off your
lols,
and
we feed off each other's lols.
Yeah.
As we did on the Chloe Moretz movie. But I don't think you have anything to worry about. And if you, honestly, your cousin would say something to you if he felt offended. And come on. That show is literally made by, like, the most queer cast of people ever. And, like, if he didn't like the joke, he didn't like the joke. So he didn't lol. It wasn't a sense of humor. Maybe he's more into, like, kind of, like, 2 + 2 = 5.
I like that your answer is maybe he's into a math lol.
Maybe he's just a dork. We don't know.
Maybe he, like, loves math.
Maybe he just likes a dumb joke that makes no sense.
I mean, everyone's sense of humor is different, but I wouldn't sweat it. And I think that it's fun. Like, I mean,
I think we can all lol about things. And, like, as long as you're accepting and loving, and, like, it's, like, kind of the onus is on them if they're offended to be like, why did you laugh at that?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's literally, like, it's just a fucking TV show. And, like, honestly, if I were watching my family member lol at, like, a fucked up racist comment by a comedian or a politician or something, I'd say something.
You have to be the one that kind of
says. And then you just are like, what the fuck are you doing? But, like, honestly, I don't think they're losing sleep on it. But I think it's really amazing of you to even think about that. And that's very compassionate and empathetic of you.
Yeah, it is. And, like, here's actually a good rule.
Did,
like,
I use empathetic the right way?
I think so.
Okay, cool.
We have a mutual friend who's in school right now studying to become a teacher. And her program that she's in is, like, super, like, social justice-y, like, woke. And their rule of thumb is anytime during class, like, if someone makes a comment that, like, offends you or it's, like, rubs you the wrong way, you just say, ouch. And then if you ouched, then it's your responsibility to go to that person and say, like, hey, what you said made me uncomfortable and this is why. And, like, let them know. Yeah. So
an ouch. It's such a sweet way.
I love an ouch. Yeah.
It's a real way to, like, not make people get, like, riled up.
So maybe also they were just, like, stoned or tired and they didn't, might have, maybe, like, they didn't even ouch.
They might have been post-coitus.
Yeah. Maybe you're projecting an ouch onto them that wasn't even there. But I think as long as you're not in a saying great anything, don't
babe
worry
exclamation
about
point territory. Because the fact that you even wrote this email means that you're a really compassionate person. So that's my hot take.
Love. All right. We have another one. Hello, Laura and guest. I don't have anything too interesting to say, but my therapist recommended that I read a book, Running on Empty, and I think you guys and possibly the readers could really benefit from it. It's all about parents and emotional neglect and the long-term effects of it.
Jesus.
I know that emotional neglect sounds heavy, but after I read the book, I realized how many people have experienced in big and small ways. Anyways, have a great week. Love.
I love that there's no question there. It's just like reflect on emotional neglect.
I love just like a statement.
And I can, and I don't even know how much I want to go into my family vibes right now.
You don't have to.
I don't have to. No one's forcing me. Not even you, reader.
I love that recommendation, and I'm going to add it to my wish list. And maybe if I look into it, I won't even wish list it. I'll just buy it. We didn't get to a lot of reader mail today, but we can get to it next week. And I want you to email me at babepodcast@gmail.com and write in. I'm here for one more episode. I feel like I've missed the reader mail, and I've missed like our babe check-ins because I feel like the reader mail is like a wellness check for my soul. And so I've missed feeling like connected to the readers. So write me babepodcast@gmail.com.
Don't forget about my wish list.
Don't forget about Ed's wish list. And follow me on Instagram @babepodcast. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
I hope you're having an amazing summer.
You're wishing them an amazing summer.
I hope everyone's having an amazing summer.
Oh, having an amazing summer. Okay, I love that.
If you're at a beach or at a lake or at a pool.
Oh, yeah. I hope you're near a body of water.
Yeah.
I certainly wish I was.
Or a bathtub.
Love and light and TTYL. Bye. Wow. babe.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.